Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible is a live call-in talk show every Monday from 6 to 7 right here on this radio station. David Harris and Tom Moore will cover difficult topics of life and worship and will give a Bible answer for every question. We encourage you to tune in and call in every Monday night from 6 to 7. The number is 855-QA-BIBLE. Again, that's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Now join our hosts, David Harris and Tom Moore.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, the gospel preacher for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, along with my partner and good friend on this program and this radio program here, the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible, Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Congregation in Hamilton, Texas. And I think we have a good program for you tonight. We have a question that was submitted by one of our listeners, and we think it is a question that should be addressed as this political season reaches its high peak. And the question is this: can a Muslim be an American president? And I would like to start this off by reading a passage of Scripture, and then we're going to get into this. We're going to answer it based upon the Scriptures, the Constitution, a brief look at the Quran, and we're going to see if a Muslim can actually be and represent the United States of America as a president. First of all, if you have your Bibles and you are in a place where you can read them, I would highly suggest to you that you read with me 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1, where the Holy Spirit through Paul writes to Timothy and he says, I exhort therefore that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may live and lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. That passage of Scripture is going to be used in just a moment to show that we've got a problem with a Muslim being a president. Now, what we're going to do in this program, we're going to talk about and going to deal with radical and non-radical Muslims as is portrayed to us by the media. And we're going to look at Islam as being the religion of the book of the Quran. And also, we're going to see that a Muslim is always going to be in violation of the Constitution of the United States of America. And we're going to see the solution for all of this is going to be God's Word. Now, our motto has always been, you have heard what men have had to say. Now, let's hear what the Bible has to say. Tom?
David, we're airing tonight on KTX 97.7 out of Eastland, KNNK 100.5. FM out of Hereford, Canyon, and Amarillo, KWBY 98.5 FM out of Stephenville, KDAV AM 1590 out of Lubbock, and KVOP AM 1090 out of Plainview. We're also airing on the Gospel Radio Network, and we want you to remember that this program is going to be re-aired on the Gospel Radio Network at 6 a.m., this Tuesday. Now, as David mentioned, our motto is and has always been, you have heard what men have said. Now listen to what the Bible has to say. Now, this is a live call-in program. If you'd like to get involved with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. You can also get involved in a discussion by going to the Gospel Radio Network and there sign into the chat room where you can offer questions or comments. We also want to encourage you to email us questions at harrisonmoore.org. That will go to David's box and my box. If you're on a cell phone, the easy way to do it, at least for David and I, who are carnpone, you just type in Harrison Moore in the Google Harrison Moore. We pop right up, you click it, and you're right there. But also, we've recently joined the Twitter age, and you can see us at Twitter and use the hashtag AskHarrisonMoore to ask us any questions or make comments, and we'll be more than happy to get to you in regard to those questions. David, as we look at this issue of can a Muslim be an American president, you know, there is a big problem in our world, David, because this issue revolves around a lot what some people say, well, there are radical Muslims and non-radical Muslims, and they say, well, we would not want any radical Muslim as president, but what would be wrong with a non-radical Muslim?
Well, if you will remember back when one of the things that really irritated me about George W. Bush, and I love the man, I loved him as a president, but one of the things that really irritated me about him was the fact that he continued to say that Islam was a religion of peace. And this was repeated over and over and over and over again, not just by our leadership in the United States of America, but the liberal media picked up with this thing, and they kept defending Islam as being a religion of peace.
Don't you think this gets back to what we've been talking about for the last 4 weeks about being politically correct?
Yes, you know? I do.
And that's plays a heavy role in this whole scenario. They don't want to offend anybody. They don't want to offend the Muslims in the United States, so they say, well, there is a radical and there is a non-radical, and Islam is a religion of peace. But people who say that, David, have not looked into the Quran very much, have they?
Either that or they're lying to themselves, they're deceiving themselves, and then they're trying to deceive everybody that is around them. The fact of the matter is, we've been told these lies ever since before 9/11. And even after 9/11, President Bush, he doubled down on it, and he said, this Islam is a religion of peace. These were just a bunch of radicals that got loose on us here, mm-hmm. when the fact of the matter is they were a bunch of people that got in this country illegally because we weren't doing our job keeping them out of here.
And as we're going to see, those Muslims who were called radical were actually just following the Quran.
That's all in the world that they were doing. That's all in the world that they were doing. This has been propagated by the liberal media and by a liberal government, but the fact of the matter is these individuals, these Muslims, this Islam is the religion of the book of the Quran. And Tom, there's two things to look at here. It's not about radical and non-radical. It's about those who are faithful and follow the instructions of the Quran, and those who are not faithful and do not follow the instructions of the Quran.
You know, if we were to make a parallel, David, using the Bible
mm-hmm.
the people who follow the Bible, you would say, would be faithful.
Right.
Those who do not follow the Bible would be unfaithful, even though they claim Christianity.
Right.
Why wouldn't it be the same with regard to Islam and the Quran?
It's exactly the same. And it's not about radical and non-radical. It's about faithful and non-faithful. And those individuals who are directed by the words of the Quran and the Surah and the Hadith, those are three of their books that they have there, the Quran being the most prominent of the three, but the Hadith and the Surah, they also fall into there. They're the three books that claim Allah as their God, and Islam as their religion, and Jihad as their holy war.
You know, Dave, when we think about this idea of people who say, well, I am not a radical Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
I am a Muslim of peace. I have a problem with that because how do we know, David, if they're lying or not? Does it not say something in the Quran that lying is okay if you're going to propagate or promote?
Yes. Believe it or not, the faithful Muslim will follow the instructions and the doctrine of the Quran. And part of following the Quran is to, and let me give you the quote, lie to strengthen Islam. Now, you can find that if you've got a one of those Qurans. It's in chapter 8 under booty and spoils. And this is the way that they have made their money in the past from the spoils of raids and attacks on people and the booty that was there. Frank, now you mentioned something earlier in the program, before the program, as we were putting this thing together today, and you were talking about Muhammad and what he was instructing some of his people to do when they were getting really instituted in this religion of Muhammadism or Islam.
Okay, as Tom has indicated a time or two, I'm a little bit older, and when I was in college, we had to study Muhammad and the beginning of Muslim, and we didn't get any of the things because none of the things that we're seeing today had taken place. All we got was the basic background of how this began, and really the thing that gave him power and prestige was the position that he took, that it Allah, his God, wanted them to rob the Jews that were crossing the desert, or any that was a non-Muslim, and not only could they rob, but they could keep whatever they stole. And that it, in their way of thinking, it really belonged to them in the first place. And this is how they started, and this is what gave them their first strength and brought about some of the early wars.
You know, when we think about that issue of stealing and lying, is it any wonder, David, that there are a lot of people who don't trust anyone who claims to be a Muslim with regard to, if they claim to be Muslim, then they're going to claim to follow the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
And the Quran says it's okay to lie if you're going to strengthen Islam.
Right.
Well, then if a Muslim says, well, I'm not radical, how do we know whether or not they're telling the truth or not if they're claiming to be a Muslim? See, that's the quandary we find ourselves in. And anyone who claims to be a Muslim, can we really believe them since their holy book says it's okay to lie to promote Islam?
Well, and this gets us back to the faithful, non-faithful thing. The faithful one, you can fear, because he is going to do just exactly what the Quran said. The non-faithful one, the unfaithful one, may be just lying to you to strengthen Islam. Now this gets us back to our text that we read there just a moment ago. There's two points that we want to make there in that text that shows us where we're going to be looking tonight at this question in view of the scriptures, in view of the Constitution, and in view of the Quran, to see if this Muslim can actually be and represent the United States of America. So when we look at the scripture and the text that we had just a moment ago, we look at this and we see that it is non-applicable to this Muslim as a leader.
Exactly. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, it says, I exhort, therefore, first of all, that supplication and prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving be made for all men. And then he includes for kings and for all that are in high places, that they may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and gravity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Now, David, would a Muslim be willing to accept the prayers of the Christian?
Not a faithful one.
No, that's exactly right. And that's where we find ourselves, right?
Exactly.
And if they're not faithful, how do we know that they're not lying and they really are faithful?
Yeah.
You see,
the whole thing just won't compute. It will not fit biblical scripture as we see it, and this is just one out of out of many that we can have. And by the way, we're going to give the solution to this at the end when we set everything up. We're going to give the solution to everything that we're going to bring up today. And by the way, this is a live call-in talk show, and we would encourage you to call in and give us your comments and your questions as we talk and discuss, can a Muslim be an American president? The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Pick up the phone. We'll pick up the tab. It is a toll-free number. Give us a call, and we will answer your question, and we will do it with a Bible answer.
Exactly right. So we're looking tonight about answering the question, can a Muslim be an American president? We've talked about how that there are some who claim to be radical, some to be non-radical. But in reality, David, you're either faithful or unfaithful as a Muslim. You are a faithful Muslim if you're following the Quran. You're an unfaithful Muslim if you're not following the Quran. So that's really what we're talking mm-hmm. about here. And not only that, the whole thing that really puts a lot of darkness in this whole scenario is the Quran says that they are to lie to strengthen Islam.
Mm-hmm.
So if a person claims to be Muslim and they're telling us something, we're going to have a hard time believing whether or not they're telling the truth because of what the Quran encourages them to do.
Absolutely.
And so that really adds difficulty to the whole situation. You know, we think about this, David. The unfaithful Muslim will not follow the Quran, but how can we know? How can we know if they're not following the tenet of the Quran to lie about the situation?
Well, I don't think there's any way to know. I really do not. By the way, that to lie to strengthen Islam can be found in that chapter 8 of the book of Quran. No one knows whether the unfaithful Muslim is actually just an unfaithful Muslim that doesn't care about what the Quran says, or if he is actually a faithful Muslim that is feigning to be an unfaithful Muslim that is lying to strengthen Islam. So we're going to keep this in mind as we continue to ask the question, can a Muslim be an American president? Now, the Muslim is always going to be in violation of the Constitution of the United States of America. To begin with, the President of the United States of America must take an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America, regardless of whatever he does. Now, I fail to see this taking place with our current president,
exactly,
as we see it. But a Muslim will always be in violation of the Constitution of the United States. And we can start with the First Amendment, can't we, Tom?
Exactly. The First Amendment says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting its free exercise. It protects freedom of speech, the press, assembly, and the right to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Now, David, it talks there about the practice, the freedom to practice one's religion, mm-hmm. the free exercise thereof, the freedom of speech. David, as you look at what the Quran teaches, a person who is faithful to their beliefs as a Muslim, they cannot or they cannot be president without violating the First Amendment because of what they believe.
Well, and let me just read you some things that these Muslims believe that coming right straight out of the Quran. A Muslim that is following the Quran is obligated to obey the following. Quote, kill Jews and Christians if they do not convert or pay jizya tax. That is found in Quran 9, verse 29. Again, in the Quran 8, verse 12, we find this. Crucify and amputate non-Muslims. Quran 8, 12, and 47, 4. Now, if a faithful Muslim is going to follow the Quran, there is absolutely no way that he can pay attention to the Constitution, the First Amendment, amendment there, when it says that it prohibits it's the free exercise of religion, because these people are intent on killing everyone who isn't a Muslim but is a Jew or is a Christian. They make no bones about it.
So they want to destroy all religions that is not Islam.
Right.
And that is a violation of the First Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
So no faithful Muslim can be president of the United States because they would have to violate the First Amendment. And as we mentioned, in the Constitution, it is required that the president uphold and keep the Constitution of the United States. Well, we have violation right off the bat.
No doubt. And let me just read to you what the very first president of the United States of America had to say, George Washington. He says, "Your love of liberty, your respect for the laws, your habits of industry, and your practice of the moral and religious obligations are the strongest claims to national and individual happiness." That's a marvelous statement by a man mm-hmm. who was the president of the United States of America. Now, that is what America is all about. That is what Christianity is all about.
You know, we think about the idea of Islam. It's not about truth, because they have the ability to lie to promote their religion.
Mm-hmm.
There's no truth in that.
No.
And not only that, the whole idea, the whole system of Islam is false. It is not according to God. It's not God ordained. And so it's all based upon a lie. So how can one be president with that in mind?
It would be an absolute impossibility for a Muslim, a faithful Muslim, to be a president of the United States of America.
But you know, David, also the Muslim, by his religion, will also, by application, violate the 5th, the 6th, and the 7th amendments to the Constitution.
Well, I'm not really familiar with the 5th, 6th, and 7th, so I'm going to have to read them. And let me just read you the 5th Amendment in its brevity. The 5th Amendment says it provides that citizens should not be subject to criminal prosecution and punishment without due process. Now, the 6th Amendment says it assures the right to a speedy trial by a jury of one's peers to be informed of the crimes of which they are charged. And the 7th Amendment says that it provides a civil cases also be tried by jury. Now, with that in mind, as a general rule, Tom, jihadists or faithful Muslims do not respect the due process in their application of the Quran. Jihad is the struggle for the cause of spreading Islam using all means available to Muslims, including force.
Exactly.
And jihad is also referred to as a holy war. And tell us a little bit about that, referred to as fighting a holy war.
Well, you know, Dave, we think about this idea. The whole system of Islam was based upon war. That's how it got its start. Destroying other nations. You know, if you can't convert them, you do what?
Kill them.
You kill them. And that's what this is all about. And they don't stop and ask questions. When we think about those amendments there that you mentioned, David, about due process and being tried before witnesses and the right to testimony from witnesses, these are not found in jihadists. And remember, David, jihad is an important word in the Islamic religion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes they try to redefine words, you know, but when it starts to explain the word, you know, a lot of times people go to the Bible and look at a word and they try to define it, but when the Bible defines its own word,
mm-hmm.
you know exactly what it means.
Very much so.
The Quran defines for us what jihad means. And it all revolves around holy war, the killing of non-Muslims and in very horrible ways without
due process. And the surah, one of their books in chapter 8 and verse 60, says, quote, strike terror into the heart of the enemy of Allah and your enemies. It's not just the enemies of Allah. It's whoever your enemies are. You pick one, that'll be good enough. If you're a faithful Muslim, it doesn't make any difference, and you will not be called on the carpet for it.
You know, people are going to object. Hey, what? No. Islam is a religion of peace. Really? Why don't you read the Quran?
Right.
Remember the number to call tonight if you'd like to get involved in a discussion with a question or a comment. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. And by the way, I have a Quran, and I have read for myself these passages out of that Quran. So I know it's there. The trouble is people... Well, again, Dave, we get back to that idea of lying, which is something taught. You know, lies are a very powerful thing. What was the first lie we ever heard about, David?
All the way back in Genesis 3.
And how much difference did that make in the lives of Adam and Eve, and really for all mankind?
It changed the course of the world.
And how do we know, David? You know, that's what things keeps digging at me. It keeps coming back at me. And that's something that the people of the world need to think about. How can we know if they're telling the truth? Now, well, we're not extremists. You know, well, what if you're lying to us? That's what the Quran teaches. So we have to keep coming back to that. Then we think about this idea of Islam and whether or not a Muslim is qualified to be an American president. We need to think about the idea of is Islam a danger to America? And as you think about that, again, we want to encourage our listeners to call in. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Now, David, is Islam a danger to America?
Absolutely. There is absolutely no doubt that Islam is a danger to America. You see, Christianity is a religion of peace. Islam is not. Islam is a religion of violence. Islam is a religion of force. It has nothing to do with peace. It has to do everything to do with force. And so we ask the question, let's just back this question up a few times. And let's ask this. We're asking, can a Muslim be an American president? Well, let's just ask this question. Can a good Muslim be a good American? Just a plain old good American? And the answer to that question is no. And here is why. Here is why. Theologically, and which is what we've been talking about here, theologically, no, they cannot be a good American because their allegiance is to Allah, the moon god of Arabia. That is their allegiance, Tom.
Well, David, can a Muslim be a good American religiously?
No.
No, because no other religion is accepted by his Allah except Islam. So, David, that means that all other religions are in violation, so they cannot be right religiously and be a good American, because although I don't agree with all religions, right? But our nation was built upon what? Religious freedom.
Right.
But that's not the way it is with Islam.
No, and he can't be a good American scripturally, because there's no other religion accepted. His allegiance is to the five pillars of Islam and the Quran. And that Quran, as we have already seen, and we don't have time tonight. If we do, we will do it at the end of the program. But we want to give you a solution to all this before we get through. The allegiance to the Quran is exactly what we're talking about between the faithful and the unfaithful here.
Well, can a good Muslim be a good American geographically? Well, no, because their allegiance is not to the United States of America. It is to Mecca, to which he turns in prayer five times a day. What their main concern with David is not the United States, it's Mecca.
Mm-hmm.
And so you cannot be a good American and be a Muslim.
Well, they can't be a good American socially, because his allegiance to Islam and the Quran is going to forbid him to make friends with any kind of a Christian or any kind of a Jew. We're supposed to be a Christian nation here, and he can't make friends with us.
Exactly right. Well, can a good Muslim be a good American politically? And that's really where we got started,
that's
right?
That's where we got started,
and
right there.
And the answer to that would be no, because he must submit to the mullah, the spiritual leaders who teach annihilation of Israel and destruction of America, and there are called the Great Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, David, do you want someone to be our president who is going to teach that Israel and America should be annihilated and who are called the Great Satan, as is taught by their spiritual leaders?
Well, before I read the next one, I want to give the phone number again. It's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We'll pick up the tab, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Can a Muslim be a good American domestically? And the answer to that is no again, because he is instructed to marry four women and beat and scourge his wife when she disobeys him. And that's in the Quran, chapter 4, verse number 34. If you will look in your Bible in Ephesians chapter 5, you will have just the opposite taught, that a husband is supposed to love his wife even as Christ loved the church and he gave himself for it. He's supposed to love his wife so much that he would die for her.
Now, isn't it interesting, David, that here in recent days and in just this past year and the last, how hard have they come down on NFL players who have done the very thing the Quran says you should do?
Mm-hmm.
Beat your wife into submission. Well, we have all kinds of horror stories out there in the world today of that very thing going on. People are being kicked out of football, suspended for several games, and sometimes haven't even got back into the pros yet because of that. So, and here in the Quran it says that they are to beat their wife, scourge them when they disobey them. Can a good Muslim be a good American domestically? Well, of course the answer would be no. What about intellectually, David? Can a good Muslim be a good American intellectually?
No.
No. Why? Well, because he cannot accept the American Constitution, since it was based upon biblical principles, and he believes the Bible to be corrupt. Now, David, that's pretty important with the idea of where we started all this.
Right.
Can a Muslim be an American president? Well, no, because they believe the Bible's corrupt. And after all, David, we've talked about before how that the Constitution and everything about the beginning of our American nation was all surrounded around God and the Bible.
Well, the Constitution, as you read it, you can't come away from there without thinking that we are dealing with a godly document, a God-like document here. It's not Scripture, but it's certainly based on Scripture.
Exactly.
And we ask, can a Muslim be a good American philosophically? No. And it's because Islam, Muhammad, the Quran, do not allow freedom of religion and expression. Democracy and Islam cannot coexist, and every Muslim government is either dictatorial or they are autocratic. And so no way can a Muslim be a philosophically a good American because of what they believe. The faithful Muslim believes in his Quran.
You know, that's why it's easy for our listeners to see, I believe, while we're talking about this tonight, because one of our presidential hopefuls,
mm-hmm.
brought this out in public And he was raked over the coals. Now,
sure he was.
He kind of has backed off and softened it somewhat, but still he still believes what he says. But, David, we are in big, big trouble, the United States of America, if we have a Muslim, a faithful Muslim, as the President of the United States, we are in big trouble. So we ask again the question, can a good Muslim be a good American spiritually? Well, the answer to that would be no. People would throw their arms up and say, well, what are you talking about? Well, because when we declare one nation under God, the Christian God is loving and kind, while Allah is never referred to as Heavenly Father, nor is he ever called love in the Quran's 99 excellent names. You look at the Quran, David, and Allah is a God of war, a God of vengeance, much different from the God of the Bible. Now, the God of the Bible did destroy. He did kill. There is punishment involved. But there's also love and mercy and compassion, mm-hmm. which are not found with Allah.
Well, the Muslim God, Allah, is not our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father is the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And they wouldn't claim that if they had to. And so with that in mind, Tom, let us now go to the Scriptures, because what we're going to see here is the solution to all of this. The solution is going to be found in God's Word.
You know, we think about this idea, David, of Islam and what it's doing to our nation, and people still remember 9/11 and all the atrocities and the things that are constantly going on overseas. How are we going to solve the problem? What are we going to do about it? Well, David, the very first thing that we're going to have to do is be involved in self-examination and be seriously rededicated to God. We're going to have to stop allowing culture. We're going to have to stop allowing the liberal media. We're going to have to stop allowing the ideas of the majority to influence us, because so many times, David, we're becoming lax. We're being desensitized to the evil that's around us, and we are falling into the trap like President Bush did a while back. It is a religion of peace, we are told. Are we ignoring the crisis that we're in? David, we need to do like Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 33, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Well, Tom, what you've just said in a matter of other words, is we got to choose a side. We've got to determine whose side we're on. Mm-hmm. And we're either going to be on God's side or we're going to be on Satan's side. And Allah and Islam is definitely on the side of Satan. Mm-hmm. Now we got to make a choice here. We can't straddle the fence, because Satan owns the fence. And we can't be neutral about this. We have got to be adamantly opposed to evil, and we've got to be righteously embracing the righteousness of God. And so we've got to choose a side. It's either going to be God's side or it's going to be Satan's mm-hmm. side. Either it's going to be light or it's going to be dark. It's either going to be right or it's going to be wrong, and we've got to make the choice.
Here's something I just thought about, David. You know, someone's going to say, well, I thought y'all were all about religious freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you allow the freedoms of Islam in our nation like you allow the freedoms of other nations? What would we say to that?
Well, I say to that Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathers not with me scatters abroad, Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30. He's telling us you've got to pick a side between good and evil. And the reason that we are not religiously open to Islam is because it is an evil religion that causes all kinds of problems.
You know, and there is a difference between Islam and other false religions.
Mm-hmm.
Other false religions don't go around trying to kill everybody.
Exactly.
They're false religions. But Islam is a false religion of murder, of jihad, of trying to kill everyone who's not Islamic. So there's a big difference there. David, when we think about this idea of a solution to our problem, you know, it all start with the family?
Well, as the family goes, so goes the nation. If you have if the family, the families of the nation is in a downward spiral, so your nation is also going to be in a downward spiral. Right now, and maybe people will say that, what, now you guys are just a bunch of naysayers, but we've got our leadership in such a position right now in this United States of America that they're doing everything that they possibly can to tear down the family structure that God has put together in the Bible, beginning in Genesis chapter 2, taking it all the way through the book of Revelation, God's standard of family and what family can do for a nation and what the nation can do for the family. And we have an administration, we have a government right now that is trying to destroy every single thing that the family is trying to stand for, Tom. Mm-hmm.
Exactly right. You know, we need to realize, according to Judges chapter 2 and verse 10, that apostasy is only one generation away. If we're not teaching our children what is right and wrong religiously, then how far? Well, we see what's really happening, David. Now we're seeing the people who are now running our nation, the people who are now editors of our newspapers, are the children of the 60 parents.
Mm-hmm.
And
maybe the children's children by
now. Yeah, maybe so. But we have a people who are not being taught,
yes,
about religious truth. And we see the difficulty that's taking place. You know, in Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, there it says, Abraham commanded his children, commanded his family to be faithful. We need more of that mentality in our world if our nation is going to get going back in the right direction, and stand opposed to things like Islam and other evils in our world.
No doubt. And it all begins with the family. Sadly, it is a very, very sad thing to say. I think we have maybe even four generations now, Tom. I do believe that we can go all the way to four generations in many aspects. And we can see that for four generations, the parents didn't teach the children, and then the parents didn't teach the children, and then the parents didn't teach the children, and then the parents didn't teach the children. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And it is that knowledge, the lack of knowledge of God's word and God's will revealed, that teaches us how to live and how to be a family and how to have the family structure, and teaches us the right way to go instead of the broad way to go that leads to destruction.
Now, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get in on the discussion, you're almost out of time to call us. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. David, the solution to our problem, self-examination and be seriously rededicated to God.
Mm-hmm.
Be diligent in dedicating our families to God. You know, we began this program by talking about the need of prayer, mm-hmm, praying for our nation. We need to do that, 1 Timothy 2.
And we need to pray for our leaders.
Exactly right. We
need
to.
The thing that I think that is very important to God, and if it were not, he would not have instructed us to do so. He wants us to pray for our leaders. He wants us to pray for them and make supplication for them. At the same time, he knows that we have evil leadership from time to time in this nation. And it is always my prayer, Tom, that God uphold the hands of the righteous leaders,
mm-hmm,
and strike down the hands of the evil leaders.
Exactly. So we're praying for the benefit of our leaders to lead us in the right way. We're praying for our nation. But, David, one of the things we really lack in, I believe, in our world today is political participation.
Amen.
You know, there are a lot of people who say that politics and religion do not mix. And all of my brethren in Hamilton, I would say, well, what's the Greek word for that? And they all know that the Greek word is hogwash. You see, David, we have to be involved politically. What was that Edmund Burke once said, David, that all that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing?
Mm-hmm.
Are we just going to sit back and allow Islam to take over? Are we just going to allow the world to say, there's Muslims who are radical and Muslims who are not. We just need to, let anything go. Are we just going to sit back and do nothing about that?
Well, we have a process in this great United States of America because of our liberties and because of our freedom. We have a process called voting. Today, by the way, is the first day of absentee voting. You can early voting, is that what they call it? Okay, early voting today. You can go up I think all the way to 7 o'clock tonight, and then tomorrow and the next day you can go again and go vote early. Go, and you won't have to stand in line. Now one of the great things that we have here, one of the great blessings that we have in this country that has been given to us by God, by the way, the freedom and the liberty that we have through the Constitution, the godly document, is our ability to go out and elect a representative to represent us in our voice. This is our voice, and we get our voice through a vote. And so we need to have political participation. Know your candidate. Know whether that candidate is batting for abortion and the killing of children, mm-hmm. because that's a real good place to start.
It is.
If that candidate in his own mind can justify the killing of an innocent child, why in the world would you want him to represent you in any other matter that you could think of, Tom?
Exactly. You know, we think about this idea about our voting. It's important for us to really check out our candidates,
mm-hmm.
not just to vote on them, because a lot of times people know very little about what's going on. They hear bits and pieces around, but they don't know the whole picture,
mm-hmm.
of what they stand for. Now, of course, in our minds, the most important thing is the moral issues. I can live with a lot of things in this world, but I cannot live with violation of God's moral issues. And we've got some passages, David, that I think tonight we need to be sure we get to before the end of our program that will help us in selecting a candidate. Who are you going to vote for on the Republican platform? Well, here's some things that might be of help to us. Look mm-hmm. in your Bibles, if you have them handy there, or write down this verse, Exodus chapter 18 and verse 21. It says, "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating unjust gain, and place such over them to be rulers of 1,000, rulers of hundreds, rulers of 50s, and rulers of 10." Three things there, David, that really jumps out at us. And the number one thing is fearing God.
That means having a heavy reverence and respect for God, His will and His word revealed.
Right, and men of truth.
Mm-hmm.
Are they liars? Have they been caught in lies? Can you believe them? David, remember what we talked way back in the beginning of this program about one of the tenets of Islam?
Lie to strengthen Islam.
Exactly. Are they men of truth and hating unjust gain? Have they sold their soul to the devil? Have they sold their platforms to other people to get what they want? Are these men, do they fear God? Are they men of truth? Do they hate unjust gain? These are some important things for us to look at.
Well, there's another passage of Scripture that we can read about here in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 2. It says here, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn." When the righteous are in authority, then the people are going to be happy. They're going to rejoice about it. The righteous are those people that are doing right according to God, not right according to man. Verse 4 says, "The king by judgment establishes the land, but he that receives gifts, he overthrows it." Now, we call this we don't call it bribery. We have changed the terminology so it will, so it won't sound so bad. We call them lobbyists now, and the lobbyist gives bribes. And here we are told, he that receives the gifts, he will overthrow the country. He will absolutely overthrow the country. That's Proverbs chapter 29, verse 2 and verse 4. You can read it for yourself in your Bibles. So we decide who our political leaders are. And as you mentioned just a moment ago, we need to investigate these candidates to the nth degree. And if there's something that is amiss there in the righteous life of these individuals, we need to know about it.
You know, David, we ought not to vote based on the budget or the welfare system, or tax reform, or health care, etc. We need to be concerned about moral issues, because Solomon said that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. He didn't say that military might exalteth a nation. Mm-hmm. He didn't say a great welfare system exalts a nation. He says righteousness. Psalm 119, verse 172 says, God's word is righteousness.
All thy commandments are righteousness. Now, that word righteousness, you know, a lot of people want to spit that out. That is right according to God. If we did things right according to man, it would be all wrong. This is the reason we have our motto. You've heard what men have had to say. And a lot of things that they say seems to be right. But now let's hear what the Bible has to say, because there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 12 and 14, or 14 and 12. When we look at the righteousness of God and that which is right according to God, it's not right according to Allah. It's not right according to Satan. It's not right according to the world. It's not even right according to your mama, unless her right is just like God's right.
Exactly. You know, David, we've talked about the solution to our problem, self-examination and serious rededication to God, being diligent in getting our family headed toward God, about our prayer life and praying for our leaders of our nation, being politically participating in the elections. But, David, we also need to determine to be steadfast.
Mm-hmm.
America did not get in the fix that it's in overnight, and we cannot expect it to be changed overnight. It's going to be a long, hard process. Paul says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We need to be strong and steadfast.
Well, the getting back again to the family. If we can get our family patriarchs and our matriarchs to pay attention to what God has said and the righteousness that God gives us, then we can do just so much for this nation. We can do so much for God. We can do so much for our own families. You know, God has set boundaries for us. And if we stay within the boundaries, Tom, then we can enjoy life. We can rejoice in life. And we can have every feasible, wonderful thing to enjoy that you can imagine within the boundaries. It's when we get outside of those boundaries that people get hurt.
Exactly right. You know, David, we think about what really makes a strong government. You know, it's not economics or the military or health care. You know, and I'm concerned about all these things. I want us to survive, and I want us to have strong military to protect ourselves, and I want us to have health care that's appropriate. But, David, those are not the things that make strong government. The things that make strong government is morality and the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Psalm 33 in verse 12, it says, blessed is the nation whose God is Jehovah, not Allah,
mm-hmm.
not anything, but it is Jehovah. the people whom he had chosen for his own inheritance. And so if we want to have a powerful nation, the very first thing that we're going to have to do is make God our ruler.
Absolutely. Next week, we're going to have the blessing of being a Christian. And we're going to... we're going to see the benefits and the blessing of being a Christian. We've dealt with Islam this week. Let's deal with a positive note next week. But I want us to leave tonight with a few things that we've got to mention. We've got some sponsors that need to be mentioned very quickly here. And I want to take a little time to mention them, because without them, this program wouldn't be a possibility. We are sponsored by the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, and the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas. We're also sponsored by the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, also the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, the 9th and Main Street Church of Christ in San Angelo, and the Windmill Church of Christ that is located in Weatherford, Texas at 4839 Tin Top Road. The Santo Church of Christ is also one of our sponsors here on the Harris and Moore Expedition Through the Bible, and we want to thank these individuals for sponsoring us and being there when we need them, and we certainly want to express our gratitude to them. Tom, there's one great thing that we need to make known tonight, and that is that you can be saved. God doesn't want to lose anyone. He wants everyone to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth, but the fact of the matter is you've got to come to a knowledge of the truth before you can be saved.
Exactly. That's where Romans 10, verse 17 comes into play. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have to hear God's word, and that word of God produces faith. But for a lot of people, David, faith is where it stops. But that's not where the Bible stops on the issue, does it?
No. One of the great keys to our salvation is that of repentance. And a person must repent. And that means he's got to change from the unrighteous ways of the world to the righteous ways of God and the righteous ways of his word. Now, in all of that as well, that doesn't mean that a Muslim cannot come out of that unrighteous darkness and come into the marvelous light through repentance and an obedience to this gospel that we're talking about.
It's going to be through a repentance and obedience of the gospel this takes place, not by going around killing everybody who's not of your religious belief.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have to believe on our Lord, repent of our sins. That means to change our ways, to go a new direction, Luke 13, verse 3. Repent, or confess our sins, Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. And here's, David, where many people drop the boat. Jesus says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, Mark 16 and verse 16. On the day of Pentecost, those who did that were added to the Lord's church. And David, that's what we need to do to be faithful in the sight of God. That's where it all starts, David, by making our nation great. We need to be New Testament Christians. We need to start following the commandments of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Remember, righteousness exalteth a nation.
Well, I'd like to end by saying thank you to all of the listeners that are out there listening, and we appreciate your tuning in and listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. Like I said, next week we're going to look at the benefits of being a Christian, the benefits, the blessings, the joy that comes from being a Christian, and we hope that you will tune in and be ready to make that toll-free call. You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. Thank you very much.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father.
Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. and call in with any questions or comments at 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-QA-BIBLE, or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harrison Moore Expedition Expedition Through the Bible every Monday night from 6 to 7 on this radio station.
It is thy faithfulness, Marty.